Chapter 2. Arrival at Marau, Solomon Islands, 1938. Brothers John William Roberts, James Thrift and Ephraim Stevens arrived in Solomon Islands on 2nd of August 1938 after a sea journey of 10 days from Sydney. They landed at Tulagi in the Florida group between Guadalcanal and Malaita, the administrative centre for the British-controlled territory, about 50 kilometres north of the present-day capital, Honiara. Father de Klerk, SM, met them there and introduced them to Bishop Aubin. The British set up Tulagi as the capital of the Protectorate after their decision in 1893 to annex the islands as the British Solomon Island Protectorate. The name Protectorate reflects the British belief that their rule was designed to protect the island from the notorious activities of whalers, traders and blackbirders over the previous 50 years. The British motivation, however, was not entirely unselfish. They were colonials who wanted to extend their empire and protect their Pacific interests. Other colonial nations, notably Germany and France, were doing likewise in the region. History, however, will probably judge that the British regime promoted development in the Solomons in appropriate ways. Although the methods of the authorities were sometimes harsh, their presence brought stability and peace to the islands, and the infamous activities of the blackbirders and traders were curtailed. This new climate was partly the reason why the missionaries were able to return to the Solomons in 1898. First days in the Solomons. By the early 1930s, Tulagi had grown into a small but thriving government and commercial centre. As was common in Pacific settlements, many Chinese traders had set up businesses, and Tulagi's ragged collection of stores became known as Chinatown. It was here that the brothers purchased replacement clothing for the heavy black clerical garb in which they had been outfitted in Sydney. Brother John wrote briefly in the annals, "In afternoon, visit Chinatown and make necessary purchases, especially clothing, for we are badly prepared." End of quote. Later, Brother James wrote that light underwear, cork helmets, light raincoats and umbrellas were on the shopping list. They had arrived on a wet day and had never experienced the stifling humidity and torrential rains that are typical of Solomon Islands weather. The following day, with the bishop, they met the British Commissioner, Mr. A. H. Ashley, and later that afternoon boarded the mission vessel Hambia for a journey of some 50 kilometres to the main mission station, Visale, on the northwestern tip of nearby Guadalcanal Island. James mentioned that they found the heat and humidity oppressive in those first few days. Rain and real heat are vivid recollections. Rolling perspiration during the bedtime hours and little sleep as a result produced that tired feeling. End of quote. At Visale, the newcomers had their first experience of life on a mission station. It was an impressive collection of buildings, bigger than Tulagi. The Visale Church, the only stone building in Solomon Islands, was a fine structure built in 1910. There, the remains of Bishop Epal, retrieved from St. George Island in 1900 by the redoubtable Father Ruyak, were preserved. The bishop's house was nearby, as well as the convent and novitiate of the Daughters of Mary Immaculate, a local congregation of sisters founded by Bishop Aubin's predecessor, Bishop Rocaz, in 1932. Rocaz was a practical man and was largely responsible for the fine establishment at Visale, which also boasted a printery, a water supply, and an electric light system. In 1942, American bombs destroyed the Visale mission station after the Japanese took over its fine facilities for use as a hospital camp. After 2 days at Visale, the brothers sailed south to another station, Tangarare, where they stayed for 17 days. The purpose of this visit was to begin to learn the language of the mission. Tangarare is the place of the Gari language, which was used among the plantation workers at that time as the common language of trade, and also as the mission language. About 70 languages were spoken in Solomon Islands, making it necessary for the missionaries to learn Gari, the most commonly used language at that time. Many Solomon Islanders knew some of that language in addition to their own. The Maoists had hoped that Gari would be the language spoken throughout all their missions on Guadalcanal. While that was never achieved, it served a useful purpose for a number of years in extending communication across the island and in promoting contact among different language groups. The three brothers enthusiastically began learning Gari, which the Maoist fathers had attempted to establish in both written and spoken form. They had developed a dictionary of about 2,000 words, as well as prayer books, sections of the scriptures, and a catechism. Later, the brothers themselves added to those language resources. Language lessons would continue at Marau with Father Moore's assistance. During the stay at Tangarare, the main water supply pipe broke and there was no water for the mission. James, always the practical man, assisted with the repair. The school at Marau. Over these days of orientation, the brothers learnt something of their school at Makina on Marau Sound. Both names, Makina and Marau, are variously used to refer to the mission located at Marau Sound. Makina had first opened as a mission in 1904. Bishop Aubin had set up a catechist school there in 1936, seeking to give a basic education to future village leaders. It was a two-year course, and only literate boys aged between 14 and 18 were enrolled. The curriculum included English, the language of instruction, catechism, crafts, and garden skills. By 1938, there were about 50 students at the school. The journey to Marau, the scene of the brothers' labours for the next 5 years, took them to the eastern extremity of Guadalcanal Island, 150 kilometres distant, about 20 hours' journey on the Hambia, with a brief stopover at Ruavatu, another mission station, 80 kilometres east of Visale. "See not good, journey uninteresting and rough," unquote, notes John in his annals. However, on their arrival, conditions improved. "Put into sound, very calm and pretty," end of quote. As they sailed into Marau Sound, the sun was sinking behind the mainland. The numerous islands and channels, bathed in soft light from the setting sun, made a spectacular sight. They noticed neat villages on some of the islands, attractive beaches with numerous coconut palms. Approaching their landfall, they could make out a few of the mission buildings, and beyond, on the right, a heavily timbered mountain range disappearing into the distance. The sound itself was well protected, with many reefs visible nearby. What were the thoughts of John, Ephraim, and James as the Hambia cruised gently towards the small wharf? It was a significant moment. The Maoist brothers had arrived at their new home in Solomon Islands. It was Tuesday, 23 August, 1938.